Are you ready for the word this morning?
Amen.
Amen. The last 2 weeks have talked about a topic of being comforted by God. And God, by his Holy Spirit, comforts us. Many times that's the last place that we go for comfort. We go to people, we go to things, we go to somewhere where we think we can be comfortable or be comforted. Many times people just hide in the closet. They just kind of go and hide when they're facing trouble, when they're facing difficult and hard times, to be comforted. But I want to encourage you to be comforted by God. In the first week, we talked about prayer. Prayer being the key to receiving God's comfort. Now, you'll notice in these each week that there's something that we need to do. We say, well, why can't God come to me and comfort me? You know, it's kind of like when we were little children and we got banged up, we got a cut on the knee or whatever. We ran to mom for her to put some medicine on it and a Band-Aid. You know, mom didn't know about it unless we ran to her. She heard a scream from the yard and panicked, you know. But there are things that we must do in order to receive God's comfort. And then last week, part two, we talked about the Bible, the Word of God coming alive, and that we need to have an appetite for reading the Word. And I talked about many times we go to the Word and we read it and it's like, I didn't get anything out of that at all. And so I gave some instruction, some practical instruction on how to allow the Word of God to come alive in your life to where it can make a big difference in your life. And then today I want to continue into part three of that. But before we do, let's read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We'll pray and I'll get into what I believe the Lord is asking me to share, wanting me to share today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all tribulation, that we may know that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word gives us life. It's our instruction manual, Father, to a successful life. Lord, I pray that you'll draw us each closer to you today, that you'll give us revelation, that you'll help our sight and our vision to be clear today of who you are and your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We have different ways of sharing love, don't we? We have different ways of sharing love. God is one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. Our love for God, many times we see God as he's our Lord and he provides for us, he comforts us, he protects us. But many times do we really see God as one that we really love, that we are in love with? God, I can't go a day without you. I love you so much. Many times I believe that we have a distant relationship with God in that we feel like he's our father, he's our comforter to a certain degree, he's our protector. But as far as really loving God, I don't know that we understand the fullness of that. We know that God loves us, but do we love God? Well, see, love is a form of worship. Love is a form of us opening our heart and our life to God into worship. We really can equate that to things and other people to where we have a close relationship with, or we're comfortable with this thing or that place. I love that. I love pizza. I love so-and-so. I love her. I love him. We use love in tones like that. But how can we express our love to God? How can we express our worship for God? I believe that's key. How we relate to God, how we love God, is how we can receive God's comfort. And so I want us to look at that today. Isaiah 38, 18 and 19 says, For Sheol, which that means the grave or those that are dead, for Sheol cannot thank you, speaking of God. In the grave, those that are in the grave, those that are dead, cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you, the Bible says. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. Verse 19 says, the living man, he shall praise you. See, praise is another word for worship. He shall praise you. As I do this day, the Father shall make known your truth to the children. See, I believe that every living creature, including us, every living creature is created to worship God. Very nature itself. God placed every living thing on earth to praise and worship him. Matter of fact, the Bible says that if we don't praise God, he'll cause the rocks to cry out to him. That's how important praise is. And I believe that as we'll see in a moment, God loves to be loved, but how does that change our life? When we love God, how does it change our perception of receiving from God? How does it change our perception of living a full, complete, happy, peaceful, fulfilled life? I believe our love for God has a lot to do with our perception of life and our approach to life, our approach to even tribulation, our approach to challenging times, which we all face. So our love for God, our worship to God, our praise, as the Bible refers to hundreds of times, our praise is important. God loves to be loved. We're going to see that. But it's also for our benefit to love God as well, to truly love God. So we have different styles of personalities. When we talk about worshiping God, when we talk about praising God, we'll say we have different personalities. We have, you know, we like to be quiet, or we like to praise God in our closet so nobody can see us, or we like to praise God in different ways, or we like to sit down, or we like to bow our hands and things like that. But did you know the word praise that's mentioned hundreds and hundreds of times in the Word of God, there are actually 7 definitions of that one word praise in the original translation. So when we see praise, one praise to us is the same as another praise. I praise you for a good job. That's a good job, attaboy. But we don't understand that there are actually 7 defined definitions, if you will, of the word praise in the Word of God if we go back to the original language. And so the way we worship God, I think, is important. There are expressions of worship that we should look at and we should see. Now, as I said, Crystal and I have been married 33 and a half years, and I love Crystal. But how would it be come Valentine's Day, or better yet, come our 34th anniversary, come next February 23rd, our 34th anniversary, what if I wanted to show my love for Crystal, so I do something for her, like maybe get her a new Harley Davidson? Don't you think that's a great idea? Honey, wouldn't you love that? What about if I got her a new tan suit like Brother Bob's? You see what I'm saying? I'm going to praise Crystal. I'm going to love Crystal with my preferences rather than her preferences. I love her, but how can I express my love for Crystal except that I learn what she likes? That's important, isn't it? And so our love and our worship to God is the same. If I'm going to worship God in my own style, if I'm going to worship God in my own preferences, if I'm going to worship God in my own, my preferred atmosphere, there's got to be certain lighting, or there's got to be certain lack of lighting. There's got to be certain songs. There's got to be certain volumes. There's got to be certain colors. There's got to be my preferences is really how I want to worship God. But what if we looked at it like, God, this is about you, and I want to love you in the way you want to be loved. I want to reflect my love and appreciate you for who you are. I want to worship you. I want to love you, and I want to put my preferences on the back burner, and I want to worship you like the way that you want to be worshiped. Does the Bible describe that? Can the Bible help us with this today? As we know, the perfect definition of love is in 1 Corinthians 13. And just in the last few days, Crystal and I have been reading. We've been in the car for a little bit, and we were talking about the definition of love and 1 Corinthians 13. If you want to know what true love is, take a read at that every so often, and it'll kind of bring you back into focus. Not only our love for God, but our love really for one another and how it's an unselfish, true love is unselfish. Matter of fact, Revelation 4:11 says that you are worthy, speaking of God, you, God, are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. In other words, everything was created for one purpose, and that is to worship God. Yeah, we have lots of other things that we do. We have family, we have friends, and if you don't have family and friends, you've got it now. You've got it here today. I believe we have family and friends here that will love you and love on you and honor you and appreciate you. So we have all these things in life. We also have responsibilities in life. When we get to be an adult, talking to somebody the other day, and they're just now getting past the age of teenage and getting into 20s and working, and she said, wow, being an adult is hard. Being an adult is hard. There are challenges. There are things. But in all of that, the bottom line, we're here to worship God. Bottom line. How can we do that? How can we worship God the way that he wants us to worship him? There's one thing that we'll continue doing in this life and in the life to come. When we all get to heaven one day, there'll be no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more worrying, no more fretting, no more working, and all those things that maybe we don't enjoy doing. But there'll be one thing that will continue on in heaven, and that is worship. Even the angels in heaven today are around the throne singing, holy, holy, holy. We may be holding a fishing pole up there, but we'll be, God, I thank you. Praise God. I mean, that'll be our attitude. That'll be the atmosphere in heaven, is continuing worship unto God. And so there are seven different meanings of the word praise, and I want us to look at these meanings and see how relevant they are, what the Bible is telling us. If we look to the original language of what praise is, the first word that we see here is Hallel, H-A-L-E-L, Hallel. Now, you could probably guess that comes from our word, hallelujah. Praise and worship to God. What that word means, Hallel, means to rave, to boast, or to celebrate. To rave, to boast, or to celebrate. Now, what comes to your mind when you think of rave, boast, celebrate? I mean, you don't really picture someone just sitting quietly, do you? I mean, maybe some people do that. Maybe some people celebrate quietly. They sit, oh man, if I'm celebrating something, I'm just about to bust. I got to holler. Got to do something. Celebrate. Psalm 22:26 says this. This is one form of praise here in Psalm 22:26. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will hallel the Lord. Praise the Lord. Celebrate the Lord. Do you see that? Let your heart live forever. Worship unto God. Well, why do we have to rave, boast, and celebrate? Because that's the way God likes it. God wants to be celebrated. He wants to be praised in a form of celebration, of boasting, of raving, is what this word means. The second one is Yada, Y-A-D-A-H. You'll see there, Yada. And this is to acknowledge in public with extended hand. I love this. To acknowledge in public with an extended hand. Again, why do we have to do that? Remember that when you raise your hands, if somebody were to come up with you with a gun, what would you do? Probably raise your hands. In other words, take everything in my pockets and my shoes. Here, it's a sign of surrender. Thank God, God doesn't come at us with a gun. But it's our choice. It's our choice. It's an attitude, really, of how we're expressing worship and praise and love unto God. Extended hand. Extended hand recognizes and sees God as Lord. God, you are everything. Extend hands. Psalm 138:1 says this, I will, Yada, I will praise you with my whole heart. That's complete surrender, isn't it? Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. As we were gathered this morning, and Josh and Kendra, Josh, our son, and Kendra, and Silas and Zelda, they're here with us this weekend. And two of our beautiful grandchildren, and two of the three, and they were with us yesterday for Bailey's birthday party in Wilmington. So they, so kindly, at the request of Dad, is here with us today. But this morning, as we were praying, gathered in a circle, little Zelda, 2 and a half, she runs up to me and puts her hands up. What do you think I did? I picked that baby up. All that bundle of sugar right there. That's the way we are. That's the way we come to God. We're coming to God like, Daddy, Papa, I'm here. Hold me. Comfort me. I want to be with you, God. I know you want to be with me, obviously. He has it all through the Word. He created us. He has one agenda, and that is you. You are his agenda. And so we come to him with arms raised like Zelda did to me this morning, and she didn't have to say a word. I'm going to pick her up. I'm going to love that baby. And that's the way God is with us, no matter what age we are. You know, we tell Josh and Jordan all the time, we don't care how old you are, you'll always be our baby. Well, I'm 30, 31, I'm 27, it doesn't matter, you know. And so that praise with our whole heart, that is God, I'm here. and I love you. I extend my hands to you. As I was reading and studying this week, something came to my mind. Do y'all remember the story of the man that was sitting outside of the synagogue with a crippled hand, and he knew Jesus was coming, and he wanted to be healed, and he had that crippled hand, and he was sitting outside the gate outside of the synagogue, and Jesus came to him, and Jesus instructs him to do one thing. Now, I believe that Jesus is all power, and he can heal. He can do whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it. If we ask, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. So this man was outside of the synagogue that day, and Jesus is approaching him, and what Jesus could have done was, your hand is healed, and that's not uncommon or impossible. But Jesus gave this man an instruction. It's interesting if we take a moment to see the instruction that Jesus gave to him in Matthew 12:13. It says, then Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. There was a healing about to take place, but he could not do it until he stretched out his hand. The man's probably thinking, are you kidding? Why do you think I'm standing here? I mean, sometimes we can get a smart aleck attitude like, do you really know what's going on here? But Jesus instructed him to reach and to stretch out his hand, and immediately it was restored, the Bible says, as the other hand. So there's power in extending toward God. There's power in us stretching our heart. And yes, symbolically we're stretching our hands, but more than that, it goes deeper than that. We're actually stretching our attitude. We're extending our attitude toward God and saying, God, you are God of all creation. Whether people realize and recognize that or not, I recognize you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the second type praise. The third one is Barak, B-A-R-A-K. Barak means to bless by kneeling or bowing. Bless by kneeling or bowing. Now, when you say kneeling these days, maybe it's just for me. The first thing I thought of when I was reading this, kneeling is some of these guys in football, as the anthem is being sung, they take a kneel. Well, that's not the kneeling I'm talking about. I'm talking about a humbling, an honor, a respect. When we kneel before God, it's more of a bowing. It's a reverence. It's an honor. And that's the kneeling that it's more again there, the heart attitude. Psalm 103:1 says, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise here is Barak. Bless the Lord, kneel, bow before him, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It's every part of our being. It's an attitude of humble. It's not an attitude of reverence, of honor before God. Let me say, when we come to God in reverence and honor, and knowing and recognize him as our God, as our King, of the supplier of all things, of supplier of life and everything in that, as we do that, it opens up our heart to receive great things from God. It opens up a channel that we're able to receive. There again, our perception has changed, but because we recognize him as the one who is bigger than us, bigger than our problem, bigger than our situation, bigger than our challenges, bigger than our questions, he's bigger than all those things. Great things God will do in your life as we worship and praise him. The fourth one is Zamar, Z-A-M-A-R. Now we're treading on thin ice now. You know what that means? It says making music to God with strings. Making music to God with strings. That's guitars. All the stuff I love. Psalm 153:3-6 says this. Now hold on. It says praise him, zamar him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Maybe y'all know where the lute is. Did I pronounce that right? Is that a lute? L-U-T-E? Yes. Verse 4, praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments. Fender, Gibson, it doesn't matter. He didn't put a brand here. Stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Now, Chris, where are you? Now, it's interesting. God mentions this twice. Praise him with the loud cymbals, praise him with the clashing cymbals. So we need to have loud cymbals and we need to have clashing cymbals. That's the only thing that he mentions twice there. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then he comes back again and says, praise the Lord. Just in case you didn't hear that, he says, by the way, praise the Lord. So he wants to be praised by making music unto God with stringed instruments. God loves instruments. He loves worship. David danced before God, played the guitar, played the trumpet. I believe he had a whole band. He just traveled around doing some music gigs there. The fifth one is Shabbat, S-H-A-B-A-C-H, Shabbat. And this is to address in a loud tone or shout. To address in a loud tone or shout. Do you notice that anybody that is excited, anybody that is celebrating, as I said a while ago on the first word, it requires you to be loud. Children are loud. You know why they're loud? Because they're excited. They're just excited all the time. You say, let's go to the game room. Woo-hoo! You say, let's go get some candy. Woo-hoo! So get some ice cream. That's what I holler. They're excited. They want to be loud. Well, that's what that word is saying. That's Jesus, God likes to be loud. If you notice, any time you go to a football game, especially if it's your, well, it doesn't really matter if it's your team or not. When you go to a football game, somebody is there for that team, both sides. And you know what? It's almost a contest who can be the loudest. They want to be known that they are there. And everything concerning that football game, including the music, including the talking and everything, I mean, you can't hardly hear yourself ordering a Dr. Pepper at the stand. It's so loud. I mean, it's loud. That's what excitement looks like. That's what anticipation looks like. That's what that's what just waiting on the edge of your seat, what's going to happen. That's what that looks like, is loud. It's excitement. Psalm 63, 3 and 4 says this, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise. My lips shall shabak you. My lips are going to be loud for you, to you. That's what that's saying. Because of your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you. While I live, I will lift up my hands to your name. There's a great song we used to sing a lot. I love that song. Your loving kindness is better than life. God likes it loud. God likes it loud. The sixth one is Todah. T-O-W-D-A-H. And this is to lift hands in adoration. Now, this is a little different. This Todah is a little different than the second word we talked about a while ago, Yada. Todah is when you lift up your hands to receive from God. See, a while ago, this man was extending hands so that he could give himself to God. But the flip side of that is God was giving him something back. Jesus was giving him something back. God wants us to extend our hands to him, Yada, so that he can give us something. There again, extending arms, to extending hands is really our approach to God. God, I'm here. I'm here to bless you and to love you. But you know what, God? You send your word. You have promises all through your word that you're going to give back to those who honor you. And that's part of the praise. That's part of what God has for each one of us. Todah. It's saying, I know you're God. You give good gifts, but I'm here worshiping you, ready to honor and bless you, and know that you're going to give back to me over and over and over and over. See, all through the word of God, there again, as we are obedient to God, as we honor God, as we lift up the name of Jesus, as we praise God, he's going to fill you full of blessing. He's going to fill you full of favor. And I recognize today that there are many here that are just hungry that God will come and be with you and touch you and to comfort you and to fill you full of his favor. Amen. Psalm 50, verse 23 says, whoever offers praise, whoever offers todah, whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him orders his conduct aright. I will show. Say that out loud. I will show. God says, I will show the salvation of God. The seventh word is tehillah. I know the first thing you thought. Tehillah, not tequila. Tehillah. Tehillah. You know what tehillah means? Exuberant singing. Exuberant singing, excited singing, just singing. You say, well, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I know people like that, but it's okay. Make a joyful noise. As long as it's joyful, make a joyful noise. Exuberant singing. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise, his tehillah, shall continually be in my mouth. All the time, We're praising God. We're singing exuberantly unto God. I think there should be times every day that even when you're facing challenges, just start singing. Just start singing. My lips shall praise thee. Oh, will I bless thee? I will lift up my hands in thy name. That's what we should do. We should just sing praises to God. Man, you can just tell your atmosphere just changed just like that. The way that you perceive things. You may not see people acting differently, but you'll have a sense of something changes on the inside of you. When something changes on the inside of you, it will affect your atmosphere. When you change, things will change. It may not be something you can see with your natural eye in that moment, but there will be a changing. There will be a shift in the atmosphere that your perception of the situation, your perception of the person that you don't like being around, once you change your attitude, and many times God forces us to stay in that atmosphere so that we can change, it'll all change right here. And when it changes right here, it can actually change the way that you view that person. I had a situation years and years ago as a young man, and I needed God to change my perception real bad because I was stuck in this situation to where I couldn't do anything about it. I wish I could have, but I couldn't. As I started praying, as I started doing what I'm instructing you to do here, my perception started changing, and rather than being mad at them and me being trying to tell them they need to change and why don't you get it in your skull, and I wanted to shake their shoulders and shake it into them. It wouldn't have done any good, but it made me feel better. I wasn't allowed to do those things, but what happened was my perception changed where I began to have a soft heart to praying for them to the point that I really felt sorry for them in a good way. I felt sorry for them that they needed to see what God was trying to do in their heart and their life. And so I believe God will change. Now, there again, that miracle has not yet happened, but what miracle has happened is my heart became soft toward God, even in the situation. Many times we'll face tests in life, and God's trying to get us to see, well, if they'll change, if they'll just do things the way they should, yeah, I understand all that. I can relate. But you know what? If we will just see what God's trying to do in our life, and it could cause a change in their life eventually. But it first needs to start with us. Amen? So if we look at these seven words we've just described, celebrate, extend hands, kneeling, making music with strings, a loud tone, a shout, lift hands in adoration, exuberant singing, all these are God's preferred way of receiving worship from you. All these are God's biblical way of receiving worship, honor, and praise from each one of us. You would think by these words that something exciting was going to happen. There was going to be a joyful event of some sort. You know what? When you worship God, that is a joyful event. When we live our life centered around these ways that God wants us to worship Him, that is a joyful event. And if we learn to do that in every situation, our life will change. So what excites you? There's something in your life that really excites you. Is that God's best for you? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with golfing or shopping or playing or fishing and all those things. I thank God for all those things. I love many of those things too. There's nothing wrong with them. But the problem comes in when we put that ahead of God. When we truly worship God and we still enjoy those things, but we worship God and make that the priority in our life, then all those other things we actually enjoy even more. Because our order of priority, our life priorities change. Let's talk about that for just a moment. Expressing God. Look in Mark 12 and 30. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." And it says, this is the first commandment. Isn't that interesting? In other words, this is the top instruction. Another place it says, seek God in all your ways. Another place it says, seek first the kingdom of God. Over and over and over and over. It's a matter of getting our priorities right with God. I believe if we look at the first phrase here, love God with all your heart and soul. That's heart and soul. That's your heart and soul is everything in you. That's saying express your affections to God. We're affectionate people. We have different ways of showing it. We have different styles and personalities, but we all have affections. We're to express our affections to God. He wants us to express our affections to him. That's what the Bible says. He wants us to give him our heart and our soul. Every living and breathing person has affections. When Josh and Jordan were young at home, I had to, as a dad, I had to make priority, my time priority. I had responsibilities I had to do, and I could easily have gotten those out of kilter. And many times it was tempting to do that because responsibilities were so heavy. But they always came back around to where we made time for Josh and Jordan. We always made that a priority in life. We always made sure that, Chris and I were talking the other day, we always made sure that we had a vacation every year. We always made sure that we did things that they wanted to do. Now, in the early days, it couldn't have taken much money, but you know what? Money's, you can have fun without money. You know, you can take them to the beach for free. But we always made sure that we had priority with them, that they had priority of our time. If we needed to do something with them, if we needed to spend time, I remember there were several occasions that emergencies came up that I dropped everything I had so that we could be there with those children. So I think that's the way that God wants us to be with him. He wants us to make sure that we make him and cause him to be priority. When we do those things, all these other things that we like and enjoy, there's nothing wrong with them necessarily, unless there's some sort of conviction in your heart. Biblically, I don't see anything wrong with having fun and having hobbies and all those things. So those things are fine, but we've got to first make God the priority. And that's what he's saying. He wants our heart and our soul above everything, our affections. And our love is tied to affections. Love is part of who we are, not only to receive love, but also give love. But God has to be the first one we give love to. God notices your affections for him. He sees your heart toward him. And the second phrase here, Mark 12:30, is love God with all of your mind. How can you love God with your mind? It's what you think about. It's where your attention is. It's your attention toward God. It's making him the focus of your attention. Did you know that I can still work and I can still do things as long as my focus and my attention first hits God? As long as that's the first place, and then I can take that wherever I go. I can take that through my decisions. I can take that. Matter of fact, it makes my decisions better. We've had to face many, many decisions over the years and many decisions that could have taken us down the wrong trail or could have taken us down the right trail. I'm not here to tell you that I made all the right decisions. But when I always made God first and priority, I made all the right decisions. When I thought that I knew it all, I didn't really need God in the situation, that's when I made the wrong decision. But when I make him priority, it's where my attention is. It's where my mind is. Where's my mind? It's my attention on God. Many times we put worry above God. We were talking about this the other day. We put worry because, God, I wish you'd work this out. I can see that if that would work out. So we worry and we fret and we lose sleep and it tires our stomach in knots. We worry about things because we know the answer if God would just be a little less busy so we could hear the plan that we have. It's so perfect, God. Just hear me out here and do it my way. So we worry. I mean, but even if we put God above those things, God, you know what love really is this. Love is trusting God. Love is trusting him that he's going to work those things out. Okay, God, I realize that the deadline was last Friday and nothing happened, so you've obviously got another plan. Well, I'm going to rest in that, and I'm not going to worry. I'm going to go to bed tonight, and I'm going to sleep. I'm not going to worry, and I'm going to know that you're in control. The sooner we do that, the sooner we release that thing, the sooner God can cause a miracle to happen, and he will just like that when we take our hands off. And then the third thing, after our attention, God says, love God with all your strength, with all your strength, with all of your abilities, all of your abilities. What abilities do you have? You have talents. You have time, which is what you're given today. You have money. There are things in your life you have abilities that God wants you to channel them through him first. You know, all those things came from God, our talents, our time and our money, it all comes from God, but yet we have a hard time giving it back to him when it all comes from him in the first place. God wants us to use our abilities to serve him, to see some way that, God, how can I serve you? What can I do? I remember years ago, I was a worship pastor at the Brunswick Church, and a man, I was on the platform as a lead worship there, worship pastor there in Brunswick, and as lead worship, and as I looked off over the congregation, this one man just stood out. It's like there was a light, a spotlight over this man. He had long hair. And man, I was just drawn to him. I couldn't wait for church to get over so I could go introduce myself and find out, man, who are you? Tell me who you are. Tell me, how did you get here? And so at the end of the service, sure enough, he hung around for a second, and I made a beeline to him. I said, I'm Mike. Who are you? And he told me his name. And I said, what do you do? He said, well, I work here, but I'm also a drummer. I'm looking, just been praying for God just to show me what to do. I'd love to play drums. I want to play drums for God. I said, man, God sent you here today. Our drummer's getting ready to move. This is his last Sunday. Can you meet with me and start next Sunday? And it happened just like that. I mean, God is just looking for people that are anxious to use their abilities. If you are, then God's got a door open for you. It's just a matter of our heart toward him. God, use my ability, use my time, use my money, use everything that I have. And God will open that door up for you. And the blessing of the door that he'll open for you far exceeds any blessing that you could ever open on your own. It's a matter of our heart attitude to worshiping God, our abilities, our talents, and our time. And so we see that our affections and our attention and our strength is so important to God that he calls this verse right here to speak to us today, to show us how we need to worship God. That he wants us to give him everything so that he can take everything that we offer to him and make something great and beautiful and just give us a long, fulfilled life. We can strive our very best and do all that we can do without God, and it'll never, ever, it'll just be a piece of sand compared to what God wants to do in our life. But if we use it for the glory of God, if we give it all to him, say, God, this is what it is. Here it is. This is my affections, my heart and my soul toward you. Here's my attention. I'm going to devote my attention to you. I've got all these responsibilities. God, I don't know how I'm going to fit it in, but Lord, I'm going to make sure that my attention is on you first. And then, God, I'm going to give you my abilities, everything I have. And I'm just going to put it out here, God, and we're going to see what you do with it. I challenge you today to do that. I challenge you today. You know what? It doesn't matter if you've been in the church like I have since you were 6 years old, or if you're just coming here today for the first time in a church service. It doesn't matter. Anything in between. We have to make that decision every day. If I think that I got up this morning and can do anything on my own strength, I'm in error. Every day I get up, I have to have the strength of God in order to do what he's called me to do. We've got to do that. We've got to make a decision every day. You know why? Because on this earth, we've got so many outside voices. We've got so many things pulling us from this direction to that direction that if we're not careful, we can step right outside of what God wants us to do in life. God has a purpose for you. God has got a purpose for you, and he wants to do something in your life even far greater than what you ever imagined. That's the kind of God we serve. It doesn't matter. As I said before, he can take even your mistakes, even your failures, and even your sin. If you give all that to him, he can even take all that and make something great out of it. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen? Let's stand together. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, thank you that you love us so much. You love us so much, God, that you give us your life. You give us everything you have. You even caused your son Jesus Christ to come to give his life for us. And Lord, today I believe that as much as you want to comfort us, God, you can't comfort us until we come to you wholly and completely. Father, I pray that today, these next few moments, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts. God, that you'll cause us to draw closer to you. God, that we will trust you. We say, God, we love you, but Lord, many times we hold back the trust and we call it love. But Lord, love is truly trusting you. Love is going all in for you. Love is giving you our affections. Love is giving you our attention. Love is giving you our abilities, our strength, everything that we have. Lord, help us to realize that we are today only because of your grace and mercy. Lord, I had someone tell me earlier that the only reason that they're here is because they never got caught doing wrong. Something that they could have really devastated their life. God, it's because of your grace and mercy that saved them from devastation. And Lord, I thank you that we could really all say that today. The days that we're running 10 minutes late and then we see on the side of the highway a life-threatening accident happen. Lord, we've seen things happen over and over to where you've saved us. And Lord, you saved us for today. Today is a key turning point in someone's life. Today is a turning point to where there will be life never the same. It's going to be so much greater from this point on as you give God your life. And so, Father, I pray that you'll cause us to do that today. That we'll connect with you in a way that we never have before. To trust you as a friend, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. But you'll always be with us even to the end, is what your word says. In Jesus' name. Let's just take a few moments. If the Lord has spoke something, if you feel just a stirring in your heart, I want to give you the opportunity just to come stand at the front here with me. I'm not going to have you share. I don't want to have you do anything. I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for you as I stand here. But it's you taking a step of faith and saying, you know what? Something you said spoke to my heart, and I realize I need to connect with God in a greater way than I ever have before. If that's you, come stand here with me. Stand right here. There's something you know that God wants to do greater in your life. There's something that's hindering you from doing all that God wants you to do. And it's certainly not God's plan. God's plan is unlimited. God's plan is not limited by your situation. God's plan is not limited by your challenge. And listen to this. God's plan is not limited by your past. Your past does not define you. Your failure does not define you. Who you have been, God came that you would have life and life more abundantly from this day forward. So I want to encourage you just to come stand right here today. Just stand right here. God wants to do something special in the service today. I believe that this will be a key turning point in your life. And by you coming up today, you're just saying, God, here I am. Here I am. I need your comfort. I need your guidance. If that's you, come on. Just another moment. Lord, you see these hearts today. See these who are standing here today, Lord. And you know the challenges they face. Lord, you know the things that are hindering them. And God, you are greater. You are more powerful than anything that's a challenge to them today. As a matter of fact, the challenge that you see in their life today, God, you came that they would have life in and through that thing. Lord, just as the three Hebrew boys were confronting in the fiery furnace, they didn't want to be there. It was such a challenge. But Lord, they knew that you were leading them through that fire. And God, you did that. You didn't blow the fire out, but Lord, you left the fire and you caused them to walk through it. And as they came through on the other side, it was an example of how great you are. It was a model of how greater you are than the challenge that they faced. And Lord, I pray that faith will just be sparked in their spirits today. A faith, God, that they will know that you are bigger than the challenge. That you are bigger than the stronghold. That you are bigger than that thing that hinders them today. And God, you cause their faith to be excited. You cause them to have exuberant singing for you. You cause them to praise you in a way that they never have before. I pray, God, that today that we will cause our love for you to be shown through these seven different ways, God. And that we'll give you all that we have, our heart and our soul, our mind and our strength. God, that today that we will love you with everything we have. I just speak that in Jesus' name over you. I speak that in Jesus' name that you just let that lid go. That there'll be no more lids. There'll be no more anything to hinder you, because God is unhindered. So if I just pray for a level of freedom that these your people have never experienced before. If you will, just pray this prayer after me. You don't have to out loud unless you want to. But if you feel led to pray it out loud, pray it out loud. Just pray it in your spirit. Lord Jesus, I come to you, Lord, and I open my heart to you. And you are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. And I declare today that you are the Lord of my life. You are the Lord in my situation. You are the Lord in my limitation. And I pray that today you will do what you will in my life. I give you my heart and soul. I give you my attention. I give you everything I have. I give you my strength. I give you my abilities. And ask you, Lord, to use me. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my past. Forgive me of my unbelief. And cause me today to believe in you, to trust you, and to love you as you promise to comfort me. Now, Father, you've heard these words that we've spoken today, and I pray that, God, they'll take a deep root of fire in our hearts today, God. Lord, you've called us, and you've set us in this place today, that you will love us, that we'll love you, but, Lord, that it'll spread beyond these walls, that what you want to do will spread beyond the walls. Lord, you did many miracles outside of the church. And so, Father, I pray that today that we will see miracles through our life transpired outside of the church walls today for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Now I pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace, that you will see clearly what God is doing in your life, that you will approach him clearly and freely and experience his presence as never before. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Love you. Have an awesome day.